Soyko. Here to talk more about it is totally, definitely not an impersonator, but the actual Ron Johnson. Welcome to the show, Senator.
Kristen, it's great to be here with you again. I love that, you know, in your intro that they pronounce your last name, Kristen Bry. You know, because I didn't know how to say it. We call you Kristen Lai, where in my parts in Green Bay and the areas of the Fox Valley. So, it syncs up nicely with that.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin! Welcome to the noon hour of As Goes Wisconsin. Actually, as we played that promo, Ryan Mason's going to be here as himself. Comedian Ryan Mason, who every once in a while comes on and does his Ron Johnson impression.
Which is so good.
He is going to be on as himself on Thursday because he's got a new show that he's promoting about mental health. It's a comedy show about mental health.
Oh, that's
and
great.
So he's going to be here Thursday, which he's still funny as himself. But he's also very funny when he's playing Ron Johnson. But welcome back. We are going to shift gears away from the sadness and the anger and the frustration that was the first hour. But as always, you can join the conversation, 844-967-2789. And if you have any questions for our next guest, I'm sure he'd be happy to answer them. Civic media friend of this show. I think you're actually also going to be on another civic media show today. Am I right, Dan Schaefer?
That's right. I'm going to be talking with Luke Mathers today as well in our usual Tuesday spot. So double duty on the Civic Media Network today. Happy to do it.
Because, sometimes when people are listening this hour, they can't catch dueling tangents and vice versa. And we'll see if we can change up the topics a little bit. But Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area, our friend, is here for the first half hour. And you and I had some interesting, you and I have had an interesting 2 weeks as far as our social media engagement. We both have been fortunate enough to have some of our work get boosted by a certain newly minted national, what was the award that she just won? The national honor of
the humor,
prize? Or something like that, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
We should probably know that.
I knew it last week, and now off the top of my head, I was like, I don't know what the medal was actually for, but I do remember the bit of her feeling like it was too heavy when Joe Biden put it around her neck.
Hilarious.
Always looking for the comedy gold. But one of my videos got boosted, but you wrote a piece on, so much of what the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, I think, has been centered on is abortion, because it is a very motivating issue and it is a very big deal in Wisconsin, where we are still living under an 1849 criminal abortion ban. But I think for some of us who are so attached to the dream that someday we will have fair maps, you wrote a piece on how gerrymandered Wisconsin is. And that was something that she boosted along with a tweet thread that you wrote. And I guess for someone who's written a lot about gerrymandering, what did you change in this piece that you felt like was new versus the conversation we've been having, or so many people have been having for the last 10 years?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with the opportunity that this race for Wisconsin Supreme Court presents, because it does offer an opportunity to revisit these maps. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we had the process that we did in 2021 with new maps, and that spilled over into 2022 with all the decisions that were made by the U.S. Supreme Court, by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And I think a lot of those decisions people have a lot of questions about. And I think the extreme partisan gerrymander that Wisconsin has operated under since it was passed, when Republicans had full control of the process in 2011, has really warped politics in a way that really gets to so many big issues. Like, you were having a very important conversation before the break here about, gun safety legislation and things like that. That's what I opened the piece with, mm-hmm. was talking about the fact that these two bills with 80% support an universal background checks and a red flag law were gaveled in and gaveled out by the Wisconsin state legislature with no debate. And I think that type of extreme response is only possible because we have these extremely gerrymandered maps. And I think when you get down to it with this election for Wisconsin Supreme Court, you know, Janet Protasiewicz has said repeatedly in her campaign that these maps are rigged. And I think it's kind of flown under the radar a little bit that Daniel Kelly, as a private practice attorney, was the person who defended these maps in court for Scott Walker and legislative Republicans.
Over 10 years ago.
Over 10 years ago, yes.
Yes.
Before he was appointed to the state.
That did fly under the radar. I was not aware of that. I did not know that.
I think, you know, people have asked questions about whether Janet Protasiewicz should recuse in these cases. I think the same questions, perhaps even more so, should be asked of Daniel Kelly, considering he played a direct role in defending these ridiculously gerrymandered maps. So you have these two candidates who have, you know, opined on these in various different settings. And I think it gets down to the real essential, you know, simple government quality of what these courts are there for, which in so many cases is checks and balances, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the Wisconsin state legislature, because of this gerrymander, has been this out of control, unhinged, unaccountable, unresponsive legislating body that can do these things that, you know, gavel in and gavel out on a very popular legislation that could make a meaningful difference to protect people's safety. They're able to do this because of these gerrymandered maps. And I think the next court, whether Daniel Kelly wins, whether Janet Protasiewicz wins, there's going to be challenges brought to these maps, whether they will be immediate challenges or challenges after the next round of redistricting after 2030. Like this, whoever's going to be on the court now, will be on the court for the next round of redistricting as well. So I think this is just such an important role that the Wisconsin Supreme Court plays. And I thought it, you know, deserved an in-depth look. So that's what I brought at the recombobulation area.
And so because I'm actually not aware, because right now we know, at least with the abortion issue, there is a current lawsuit that will be in the foreseeable future, probably this year, by the end of this year, maybe next year, make it to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But is there a current lawsuit to have anything to do with the maps? Or is that something that people are waiting on to see who wins next Tuesday?
That is kind of brewing, just generally. Okay. I talked to Jeff Mandel, who's the co-founder of Law Forward, which is a liberal group that works on redistricting cases. And he talked a lot of, you know, it was a really interesting interview. He talked a lot about, you know, just kind of the process with how things worked with the last round of redistricting and how the U.S. Supreme Court kicked this case back to state courts and how this is going to open the door for redistricting challenges to come before courts like the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which has never happened before. So it follows the ruling from last time from the U.S. Supreme Court saying, hey, take this to state court.
Mm-hmm.
And so people like Jeff Mandel at Law Forward are just like, okay, we're going to get that ready.
Yeah.
So that's you know, I think regardless of who wins, there's going to be challenges to the
maps. There's going to be challenges. We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area about his most recent piece on gerrymandering and what's at stake in our election, which is a week away, early voting, still open, get it done this week. If not this week, definitely go on April 4th. You're coming for my job. I saw that you're making reels now.
I made a silly video.
You did. You did a very good job in your goofy winter hat.
Yes, I had my goofy winter hat with the Bucks hat with the flaps, and I, you know, went outside and was shoveling my sidewalk and was thinking about early voting.
Have you voted yet?
I have not voted yet. I'm going to go today after we're done.
Nice. I have also not voted yet. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to go today or tomorrow, but get that done. And so just getting back to our gerrymandering, because I followed this a little bit after you posted on it, and I know you're not, you're used to people having feedback on your takes. And I saw some of the back and forth, because I think it's interesting because the natural or the inevitable reaction I've gotten whenever I've talked about gerrymandering is the natural gerrymander between Madison and Milwaukee and the rest of the state.
Sure.
And I think you handled it really well in talking through, there is a natural gerrymander that is a couple of points, not a 60-30 or like 65-35 split or 25, whatever it be, split. That is how the least the people that I saw responding to you trying to justify that this is just the natural split of what the population is, which at least, and I didn't get to verify the assembly popular vote, but over 800,000 people outside of Milwaukee and Dane County voted for Evers in 2022. And in total, it was just over 500,000 in Milwaukee and Dane County that voted for Evers. So there is a lot of people who vote blue and Democrat outside of those two states. And it feels like they just try to ignore that fact. And I think the thing that I don't understand from a standpoint, and maybe you can put yourself more in the mind of the people who are making this argument, for people who argue that the maps are not gerrymandered versus arguing, well, was it within our right to gerrymander? You know what I'm saying? As far mm-hmm. as like what the commitment to denying that the maps are gerrymandered, despite the fact that basically every objective news source has written a piece on how we are one of the most gerrymandered states in the country. And yet there is those few people who are like, no, we're not. This is just how the population lives.
Well, and I think you don't even have to look that far to find examples of the fact that partisanship was a consideration in drawing these maps. You can listen to what Robin Voss said in a public hearing when introducing those maps, when he said that partisanship was a consideration when they drew that, because they're like, he said, I think his quote was saying, it's a constitutional allowance allow for partisanship to be drawn into those maps. They're admitting that the maps are a partisan gerrymander. So I don't really understand a lot of these arguments saying that, oh, it's just because Madison, everybody's in Madison, Milwaukee. And while you discount, you know, Beloit and La Crosse and Oshkosh and Eau Claire and all these different blue pockets around Wisconsin. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a break really quickly. When we come back, I'd love to get your thoughts on one of the other races that's very important, but maybe not as is kind of in the shadows of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which is Senate District 8. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Dan Schaefer and Kristen Bry.
She's voting around 5 p.m. in Hamden.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry with Jane Matinere, and our guest this half hour is Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. If you have a question for Dan, you are free to call or give us a text at 844-967-2789. And Dan, I would love your opinion on this as someone who puts their work out into the world to get feedback, but I also think there is a type of person with certain political leanings that follows me and follows you. And I have noticed, I'm trying to not allow myself to have any false hope on turnout for next week, because as I have posted videos in the lead up to the election, my most well-performing videos, we'll say, as far as the most views and things that are getting pushed in the algorithm, are about the election. And the amount of comments I'm getting as far as people who are voting, people who plan to vote, people who are telling their friends to vote, people who are voting for Janet, is overwhelming. And it makes me feel good. But I also understand that I live in an echo chamber. And so how are you feeling about what you've heard, people you've talked to, as far as what we can expect for turnout and what more can be done to motivate turnout in the last week that we have?
Well, I think that's the name. Turnout's the name of the game right now. And it's just, you know, it's a cliche to say that it all comes down to turnout, but sometimes a cliche is true, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think it's really important to, like I did in my silly video over the weekend, to vote early if you can, to get other people to vote, to remind people that this election is happening, because normal people who are not like us and who are not living and dying on every little bumping news cycle aren't necessarily accustomed to a spring election cycle when there's not a presidential primary attached to it.
Yes.
So I was doing a little bit of digging around on some turnout numbers for spring elections past. And, you know, the high mark for turnout in a recent Wisconsin Supreme Court election was in 2016, when there was about 47% turnout. But that came when there was presidential primaries on the ballot for both parties. And then in 2020, you also had the Democratic primary that was all but sewn up by Joe Biden at that point. But the turnout percentage got to just over 35%. Now, if you're looking at turnout when there's not a presidential primary attached to it, only twice since the year 2000 has turnout been above 25%.
Oh my gosh.
And that's 25% of voting age adults. And so you think about the percentage that we get, you know, in midterms, in presidential elections. We're in the, like, Wisconsin's great with that. 50, 60, 70%.
Usually, right? Like top five, like all states for voter turnout in the fall.
So there's a lot of people who are accustomed to voting in fall elections, regularly vote in fall elections, who are not going to vote next week or vote this week.
Mm-hmm.
Only twice. And like I said, only twice. And those came post Act 10, when there was the 2011 race for Wisconsin Supreme Court. That reached about 34%. And then 4 years ago in 2019, similar timing wise, where it kind of followed a midterm. When Brian Hagedorn won that extremely close race by less than 6,000 votes, that was at about a 27% turnout. You know, I think the expectation is that this election will eclipse that one.
Yeah.
Who knows if it will get that 34%, but that's still not that many people.
Not a lot of people.
You know, we've been talking about this election for so long. It is such a big deal, but I think, you know, normal people are not necessarily accustomed to voting in a spring election when the rest of the nation isn't also voting, or if there's not a presidential primary involved, or whatever it might be. So turnout is everything right now. And reaching people who might not know that this election is happening is super, super important.
And it's interesting because I've been, you know, the amount of national press our state has gotten and the amount of people I've seen, whether it's you really big creators on social media, different news outlets. I think almost every major news outlet has written some version of the headline, the most important election that you've never heard of in the last 4 months. Right. And so I'm interested for people who, because I think there is a part of our population that maybe pays attention more to national news than to local news, largely because a lot of local news has been gutted. And sometimes, you know, it's easier to pay attention to national headlines because there's so many different options and different ways you can receive that information. And so I'm interested to see if there's any correlation between that and ultimately, not that it's a good thing that this has been such an expensive race, but with such an expensive race also means a lot of media that it's hard to not know that there's an election next week.
Yeah, but at the same time, there's a lot of people who don't know there's an election next week.
Yeah,
and it's really important to reach those folks and remind people that, you know, how important this is and how much is riding on this, because it's a rare opportunity to determine the balance of power on the state court. Doesn't happen often. There's not often a case where there's an open seat and there's three liberals and three conservatives on the state on the court. You know, it's just you got to reach as many voters as possible, because the more people turn out, the healthier democracy can be. And I think
totally
for Republicans,
agree.
and I think for Republicans, they recognize, you know, they won't say it, but they recognize that this is a base turnout election.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Daniel Kelly is the type of candidate who's going to win over swing voters.
No, really? You don't think he's a real moderate, like,
so that's why
normal guy?
Exactly. And so I think their effort right now is turn out the base, turn out the base, turn out the base. Not try to win over any other, you know, you see the tone of the advertising. It's speaking to the base. It's not speaking to swing voters. So turnout is everything right now.
Turnout is everything. All right. Well, if you missed any of this, you can always listen to it as a podcast, or you can catch Dan Schaefer later today on Dueling Tangents. What time are you joining for the whole hour?
No, 2:30 today.
2:30. So tune into Dueling Tangents if you didn't get enough Dan right now. But Dan Schaefer from Recombobulation Area, always fun to have you on the show. Thank you for all of your work.
Always great to join the show.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Tell that long tongue liar. Go and tell the midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him the guard's gonna cut him down. Tell him the guard's gonna cut him down. Doesn't kill you, makes you stronger. Stand a little taller.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair, and we are halfway through our noon hour, halfway through the show. We're feeling a little bit better than we felt during the first hour, right, Jane? Happier?
Yes, it was tough. It was tough, but we can't ignore it, and we can't pretend these things don't happen. And
I know.
And we've gotten some great text messages. You can always check in with us or call at 844-967-2789 from the 414. Kristen and Jane, you guys are awesome. Your compassion and heartfelt emotions are genuine. If that can't drive good people to take back our country, we are in trouble. I hope the good will win out. Thank you for your efforts. P.S. I am now going door-to-door knocking for Jody, which we're going to be talking about. Thank you. Thank you for the motivation. Peace.
Well, thank you for that message and your camaraderie. I feel like it's the thing that we're trying to build is community with the show, with civic media, and being able to actually talk about the issues that affect us in a human, non-yelly way. Yes. And so, all right. Well, to shift gears a little bit, our next guest is running for the mayor of Oshkosh. And as a candidate who's only 26 years old, I thought it would be super interesting to talk to him about his candidacy, but also what younger elected officials can bring to local government. So please welcome Aaron Wojciechowski to the show. Welcome to the show, Aaron.
Hi. Well, thank you for having me. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Yes,
awesome.
We can.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
It's great to meet you. You know, it's funny because I feel like since I started As Goes Wisconsin back in 2020, I think you were running for something in 2020. Cause I remember even then, you were a very young candidate, and what were you running for in 2020?
So I was running for the state Senate at the time.
That's what it was.
Yes. So the Oshkosh area still.
Oshkosh area. And so now you're running for mayor. And so, how has the campaign been going?
Yeah, it's been going really great, actually. I think it's new again because, you know, when I was running for Senate, or it was during COVID times. So it was very unique. You know, we weren't doing the traditional door knocking. We were trying to be safe. So it was a very unique election. This one feels more traditional. Once again, where we're talking to voters face to face. And that's great because, you know, as an elected official, I am now, but running for election, what I care about most is hearing from people. So it's really great to be able to do that again in a safe way.
Absolutely. And so I guess for people who are unfamiliar with you, tell us more about yourself.
Sure. So I moved to Oshkosh in 2015 to go to the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh. And I was never politically involved or really interested at all, but it was during the primary to the presidential election, which got me interested in politics. You know, as I was starting to live on my own, I started to think about these things, and it encouraged me to run at 19 for the Winnebago County Board, and I actually beat the incumbent. So I was at one point the youngest elected official in Wisconsin, no longer hold that title, as I've gotten a little older. But that's kind of where my journey in public service started. I was on the county board for 4 years, so I ran and won re-election. And then I decided to kind of pass on the torch because that district represented primarily the campus. And I thought it would make sense for a student or someone younger to take on that role and give them that opportunity. And then that was when I decided to run for the state Senate. Unfortunately, I lost, but I was encouraged by others to run for the city council. And I ran for that and won. So I'm coming up to the end of my first term on the city council and decided to take the next step and run for mayor since it's an open spot. So that's kind of been my journey right now in public service.
Aaron, what are you hearing when you are going door to door and talking to people? What are some of your potential constituents' concerns that you're hearing about?
Yeah, so I would say a lot of it has to do with, you know, the usual. So like infrastructure, making sure that our roads are good, our bridges are safe, water infrastructure, making sure that, you know, we're replacing lead pipes and people have access to clean drinking water. But all of that also ties into concerns about, you know, how much people are paying their taxes, the cost to pay for these services. And, you know, we know they're going up. So a lot of it is how do we lower these costs while still providing the services? So those are the big basic ones. But the ones that are talked about but not often, you know, listened to are issues that I care deeply about, that being, you know, sustainability, diversity, equity, inclusion, and homelessness, addressing that.
And so what are some of, like, with the issues that you're hearing, both the issues that you find to be priorities, like, what are some of the plans that you feel like are within the wheelhouse of the mayor's office and also what you would be able to do? Because obviously we've talked a lot about the constraints that local governments in Wisconsin are under because of tighter budgets, yeah. An outdated shared revenue model. And so as far as exactly what you said, kind of the balance between, you know, necessary services that the local government's responsible and held accountable to providing, but also trying to figure out the balance sheet and the costs of that. And so as far as like ideas and policies that you feel like could and should work, what do you think?
Yeah, and I'll start off by saying, you know, what I tell constituents, and it's true, you know, as state shared revenue dwindles down, it impacts the local communities. And so we have a couple choices. One, we can either raise taxes, which we don't want to do. We can cut services, which we also don't want to do because they're very vital to our community. And the third option, which we don't talk about, or what I think is the best, is finding new sources of revenue. And so a couple of the things that I propose or have been working on these last 2 years focus on sustainability and kind of our return on investment by investing in sustainable practices, green technology. You know, we've seen other communities do this and have huge, you know, benefits and, you know, return on investment that can then be later used for some of these other projects, some of these other services to kind of take the burden off citizens. One of the other big things we're looking at is how we do special assessments. So whenever a road is repaired, you know, a large portion of that cost is put on homeowners on that street. And many times it breaks the bank. And that's another issue where we wanted to make changes, but, you know, we're kind of constrained by the state suing us, our outside entities suing us, which we've seen in other communities. So our hands are tied in a lot of ways. So we have to get creative. That's why I've wanted to focus on things like sustainability. But it also is, yeah, just about balancing, making sure that what we're funding is, you know, helping the people and cutting waste, you know, where we can.
And so with now being in politics and running for office since you were 19, so that's going on 7 years. And yeah. And so what has been, you know, when you talk to constituents, when you go door knocking, as you've been elected to different roles, what is it, do you feel like you bring a different perspective that is because you're young, or do you feel like it's just different ideas no matter what age you are? Like, what do you feel like do you feel your age when you're in these rooms, or is it kind of not a non-issue?
Well, so when I was 19 on the county board, for reference, I think the next oldest person was in their 50s. So I was definitely the resident young person. And it's funny, when we applied for committees, they put me on the information systems committee because they're like, well, he's young. He knows about technology. And they later regretted
it. Were they right? Did you know enough about technology to be helpful on that board?
Well, yeah, I did. And I think they later regretted it because it ended up being a committee that did a lot of things that they didn't like because it felt like, you know, the technology is taking over younger generation. I don't think it's ever been an issue for me personally. I've always felt respected because of my age. I think where it benefits a lot is that perspective and those lived experiences, because especially in this area of Wisconsin, you know, many parts of Wisconsin, quite frankly, our elected officials, our bodies aren't diverse. They don't represent, you know, these different minority groups or underrepresented populations. And, you know, I've always felt it's a bit of my responsibility, like a responsibility in a good way, to make sure that, you know, I'm being a voice for these people. And I think we've seen that in the conversations that we have. I know on the county board, for example, I brought up the conversation, a resolution about banning conversion therapy because, you know, it's an archaic practice. It's awful, but it's still legal in Wisconsin, or people practice it still. And it was a resolution, and we had people on that board who had never heard of conversion therapy, didn't know it existed. And even someone who was on the complete end of the spectrum politically from me was like, wow, I can't believe they do that. You know, how is this a thing? Wow. So I think, you know, even when we can't make, you know, substance progress, you know, like actual policies because of our constraints, you know, we're at least having these conversations. And I like to push the envelope on those issues of sustainability, of DEI, you know, of equity, because, you know, everyone cares about it, especially the young people.
And so I guess talking about what young people care about, and you know, as much we've seen, as you said, you're no longer the youngest serving elected official in Wisconsin. And we do have some young people in our legislature, some young people in city councils and mayors. How do you think, do you think you either get the bug or you don't, or is there a way to talk to other young people to motivate them to feel like empowered to actually also run, even like as starting just on the county board or starting with city council or starting with school board?
Yeah, I like to, the way I always like start those conversations or engage it, you know, if I'm ever like, let's say I'm out on a Friday night at a bar and I'm like talking to someone and I'm like, I always go with like, do you like, you know, do you like your city? Do you like Oshkosh? Or like, what don't you like about where you're living right now? So I always start that conversation casually, and then I'll kind of slip in, well, you know, if you don't like something, you know, we can make a change, you know, we can do something about that. And, you know, there's different personalities. Not everyone wants to be in that spotlight of being the elected official and making those decisions. But I always encourage people, you know, there are different routes. You know, you can be the person who helps get those people elected. You can be, you know, a community member on a committee. We have plenty of committees where people can get involved and make change, where they don't have to actually, like, be on the camera and, you know, take the hit for making that vote or whatnot. But I think it helps being able to see yourself reflected in government. And I hear that a lot from my friends and people, like, wow, it's really cool seeing another young person being able to make that change. It's inspiring. And I think that's why we need more young people in government.
Aaron, I give you a whole lot of credit for trying to make running for like the county board a sexy thing. That is, that cannot be easy by any stretch of the imagination. So well done.
I haven't completely been crushed by cynicism yet, but I still have, it is hard. And I tell people, like, you know, there are days when it's very defeating because you're like, wow, like we tried to reduce paper usage and it became a whole hour long conversation. But, you know, sometimes it's just like, what's going on? But, you know, it encourages me when I get those messages from people saying, like, you know, like the silent behind the scenes, like, thank you for what you're doing. Like, you know, I appreciate it. And that's always what keeps me going.
I hear you. We feel the same way when we get messages of encouragement, although we just have a radio show. We're not actually making decisions for anybody. But I guess to end on a high note, Aaron, what do you pitch us on Oshkosh? What do you love about Oshkosh?
Yeah, thank you for asking this question, because the problem is when people come to Oshkosh, typically like younger people, to go to school. And then as soon as they're done, they leave. And I'm like, we're losing all this potential, you know, people to live, work here, invest. I love Oshkosh for many reasons. One, I came from a very small town. I went to school in Delavan, if you know where that is. Very small town. So when I came here, it was a great size. So that's the first thing I noticed. Like, it's not too big. If you're overwhelmed by like Milwaukee or Madison, how large it is, Oshkosh is a great size. It's in a good location. It's very central to many places like Green Bay, Appleton, Milwaukee, Madison. It's only an hour away from some of these places. But the entertainment is a huge aspect. You know, we're known as Event City. We have EAA, the biggest air show in the world. We have music happening almost every weekend. We just started the Door program, which is the outdoor beverage where you can walk down our main street with an open intoxicant, a beverage in hand. So for people who like doing that, there's that. We have the Oshkosh Arena, which is relatively still new and hosts a lot of events.
But Aaron, I'm going to have to cut you off because it's a great sell, but we have to let you go because we have a commercial coming up. But Aaron Wojciechowski, thank you so much for joining us. You can check him out on Facebook and his candidacy. Good luck in the last week of the campaign.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Yeah. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
That's what election day is all about. The biggest gun we've got is called the ballot box. So if you don't like who's in there, vote them out.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are rounding out our noon hour of this Tuesday edition of As Goes Wisconsin. Just a reminder that you can always stream us. You can take us wherever you go. So if you're listening to us in your car and then you're going to do errands, you can download the Civic Media app.
So easy.
And you can continue to listen to us while you're grocery shopping. And so you just have to go to your app store, whether you have an Android or an Apple, and search Civic Media. And then you can download that app and you can take us wherever you go. And so all of the different stations, the Civic Media stations, are on there. So you can check out the different shows on the different stations. But you can also just listen to us as a podcast. So if you go to asgoeswisconsin.com/listen, you can find us. We post all of our show notes there. And so I put out, like, for example, for Dan Schaefer's piece from today, I'll post his gerrymandering piece and some of the different articles that we referenced throughout today's show. So you can always go there and find us on Spotify and Apple and wherever you find your podcasts.
So easy.
Am I missing anything, Jane?
I don't think so. And then we stream all over the place too. So if you want to,
we do.
If you want to see us, that's your choice. You can do that as well.
Who was it that called that said, "I didn't realize you guys streamed. You look very different than what I was expecting."
I don't know.
I was like, "Oh, there's a lot to unpack there."
Can be good and bad. It could be good and bad.
It can be, especially when I forget to put in the away message when we're at a commercial and people just see me doing whatever I'm doing during the commercial break. Oh, all right. Well, I found this little piece of trivia from the Up North News newsletter, which is also our 6 to 8 a.m. show with Pat Kreitlow is Up North News Radio. But they also have a newsletter that is fun tidbits. I would say that's a good resource, both for news, but also we get some fun, lighter stories from them. And so they started doing some trivia, and although they don't do it the way Morning Brew does it, so I always have to wait for the next day, because Morning Brew will give you the answer the day that they
give
you the trivia.
Okay. But Up North
News. Versus in the Up North newsletter, they don't tell you the answer. Like, you can email them back with your guess. Otherwise, they say the answer the next day.
Oh.
I feel like that's a lot more work to go through all those answers, depending on how many they get every day.
It's the art of the
tease. But this is a hard one. I would not have gotten this. And in fact, they actually wrote, they said none of the respondents got this one correct. But I'll give it a pause to see if you or anyone else can answer this. Be on standby. 844-967-2789.
Now, to clarify, this is election trivia. Is this specific to Wisconsin or is this national?
No, this is national.
This is national.
So what usual method was used to compare political candidates in the late 1880s?
What did they use to check out the candidates in the late 1880s?
What usual method?
This was a traditional thing.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how long it lasted for, but...
I don't know why my brain is going here. Was it a urinalysis or something?
A urine analysis?
Yeah.
Like drug testing?
Who knows what they were doing in the 1880s? They could have been crazy.
And actually, that's an interesting point. Why do we drug test our elected officials?
I don't think they have to go through any test.
I don't think they have to go through any tests either. I don't think they're drug tested at all, which is interesting.
That could explain so very much about some of
them. So very much. What was it? What was the Madison Cawthorn accusation that there was like coke orgies?
Oh, yes. Yes. Cocaine orgies on the Republican side.
God, I wonder what that guy's up to these days. All right. Any other guesses?
I got nothing. I'll go with a urine sample.
Phrenology. Do you know what that is? I don't even think if I hadn't read this, I don't think on its face value, if someone just said the term phrenology to me yesterday, I would have been like, oh, I know what that is.
Is it something to do with blood?
No, it's the analysis of their skulls.
What?
So it was a practice that was used throughout the 1800s, including during the 1884 election between Grover Cleveland and James Blade. So it's basically when it's like a pseudoscience that involves like the measurements of like bumps on the skull, and it like would be a predictor of mental traits. So it's not like a real science, but at the time
it was accepted.
That was like people thought that like brain size and, you know, like early science. And so they, I guess, I couldn't find a ton. I was trying, this did happen absolutely in this presidential election. I was trying to research this morning to see if there was more documentation on other elections this happened in. But they used this during the 1884 election between Grover Cleveland and James Blaine. So despite Grover Cleveland's, despite his skull being labeled subpar.
Oh, dear.
Compared to James Blaine, Cleveland won the Electoral College and the popular vote to become the first Democratic president in 28 years.
That is crazy.
Isn't that crazy? And literally, there's a picture I found it. You can Google this and find the newspaper clipping that literally prints like the diagram of each of their heads. And like Grover Cleveland is kind of like, he's a little bit of a conehead. And like he's a little wider at the bottom, a little pointier at the top. And it came from them like measuring, like giving this to constituents to vote on as a potential criteria of like, take this information as you will on their skull shape and size and what that says about them as candidates.
Now I just want to see what the exam looks like. You know, come on in. I'm going to feel your head. It's just so odd.
It's very odd. It's good that we're not
doing that
still
anymore.
Doing that, I would say, but I'm so interested of just what, like, the scientists who really believed in this, like, what were the experiments that they found conclusive evidence that anything correlated to anything? Because I'm pretty sure now there's not a whole lot. Like, I've got a pretty big head, and I think that I'm smart, but I don't think the two are actually
connected
correlated at all.
Not necessarily.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, we're going to have a conversation about Milwaukeeese and Wisconsin dialects and linguistics in general with UW linguist Joe Sammons, who is going to be joining us for the first half hour. If you have questions about origins of why we talk the way we talk and how it's interpreted, 844-967-2789. It's going to be a super fun conversation. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
That's what Election Day is all about. The biggest gun we've got is called the ballot box. So if you don't like who's in there, vote them out. If you don't like who's in there,
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.